This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Morning. It is such a joy and privilege to be here. I bring greetings from my family. They have a children's church picnic this morning, the kids, so they didn't want to miss that. We are all settled in back in Stellenbosch, and we do miss you guys, but I have to say to just drive 5 minutes to church is so much easier than driving half an hour, so we are grateful for that. I just want to, if you allow me, I just want to honor Albert and Tani Nancy. I don't know if you know them. Some of you might not. Can you look for next door? They are the parents of Pastor Heinrich. Come, Tani Nance. Just honor them. Thank you, Yella. You know, they, sometimes we don't realize who the people are who laid the foundation for a whole movement that is growing. And when we were all students 20, 25 years ago, they were the grown-ups. And they were the wise people who patiently and with much endurance loved us. And they were bearing with us and they taught us. And, now we're a strong, Shofar is a strong movement, but we should not forget the memorial stones and the those who laid the foundation. So it's such a privilege for me to know them personally. And we are grateful, and we are grateful for your son and your daughter-in-law who's so anointed to lead this movement. So, and the other thing that I want to say is, when I come to this church, there are always words and testimonies, and that is just, I hope we realize that not all churches are like this, and this is such a blessing that people just almost effortlessly can come and just share, and that is what church is. I spoke to some people who changed churches for a while, but they came back because they said, we want the testimonies, we want the stories. And where we were, it was only ever the pastor who had the microphone. and I just realized this is such a blessing. So yeah, it's so good to be here. And I'm trusting God for this message this morning. And I just have such a sense that God is longing for us. God is longing for us more than we are longing for Him. And my prayer this whole week was, God, will you penetrate our hearts this morning? And I just know that whoever you are, whatever your circumstances are, It's not too late, and it's not too bad, and it's not too hard for God to penetrate our hearts this morning. So let's just quickly pray before we start. Father, this morning we see these mountains, and how great is our God, Lord, and I stand here this morning before you, God, with such a desire in my heart that you will speak to us and that you will penetrate our hearts, every hard heart, every broken heart, every desperate heart, God, that you will meet with us, Lord, because this is a good time and this is a good place. And this is an opportune time to meet with you, Lord. God, and just as you gave Israel fresh manna every day, God, thank you, God, that today is not yesterday, God. Today is fresh manna, Lord. And we eagerly wanted, God, because without you, we are nothing, Lord. And we worship you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to start with a scripture. I hope you can see there. I'm sorry. Slides is not my strong point. I don't work for the church anymore, so there's nobody to do my slides for me. I'd like to read from 1 John 2, verse 3 and then verse 5. And I'm going to speak about being deeply acquainted with God. 1 John 2, verse 3. And this is how we know daily, by experience, that we have come to know him, to understand him, and be more deeply acquainted with him, if we habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey his commandments, his teachings. But whoever habitually keeps his word and obey his precepts and treasures his message in its entirety, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. It is completed and has reached maturity. So that is a mouthful. What I want to start with this morning is that God has a desire that we will experience him on a daily basis. He has a desire that we will habitually have our eyes on him and follow him daily. Now, if we look at the life of Jesus, I'd like to read from Luke 5, verse 16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray in seclusion. So we look at the life of Jesus, and the word says that very often Jesus would slip away. You know, I have children like many other people here. You will get this. You will understand this. Slipping away. I constantly try to slip away and be alone. And it says that Jesus would often just slip away to be alone with the Father. Now, when we look at the Gospels, we see in Luke 6, verse 12, and I'm not going to read all of it, I'm just going to mention it. In Luke 6, verse 12, Jesus spent the whole night in prayer before he chose his disciples the next day. Matthew 14, verse 13, he left to be private, but the crowds followed him. This was just after he learned that John the Baptist, which was his cousin, was beheaded. And I'm sure that Jesus, being fully man as well as fully God, needed a moment because he just heard that his cousin was murdered. And he tried to get away, but he couldn't because the crowds followed him and he accommodated the crowds. He had them. He did the miracle of the fish and the bread, and 5,000 people were fed. But then after that, in Matthew 14, verse 23, he went by himself to the mountain to pray. Mark 1, verse 35, he left the house while it was still dark to be by himself to pray privately. Luke 9, verse 18, Jesus was praying privately. I'm sure we get the message. And then Jesus is on the mountain and he is teaching the people, and coming from this life that he lives of constant private fellowship with the Father, he teaches the people and he says, but when you pray, go into your most private room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So Jesus says, prayer is not a public thing. There is corporate prayer, most definitely. We need to go to the church intercession. But here he speaks about a different kind of prayer. He speaks about a prayer where you go into your most private room. Now, Jesus did not have a house, and sometimes he was at a house and sometimes not. And over again, as we just read, we see he went to the mountains, he went to the wilderness, he went to be alone with the Father, he spent the whole night in prayer. Jesus could not do his ministry on earth without spending hours and hours alone with the Father. So how could we? If even Jesus could not. I preached a similar message last Sunday in Stellenbosch, and it got very quiet, and I was very nervous afterwards. I thought they will never, ever let me preach again, but they said it was okay. I have some serious things to say this morning. And I'm trusting God. You know, when we look at this word prayer in the Greek, in the scripture about the most private room, the word is something like prosyukami. I don't know how to pronounce Greek. I can't pronounce it. But it refers to a vow, an invocation, or a request, and when we look, or an entreaty. And when we look at the word entreaty, it is an earnest or humble request, a plea, an appeal, a petition, a cry from the heart. So, what I am saying this morning is, if we desire relationship with God, we need to spend a lot of private time with him. And in that private time, we engage with him, we plead with him, and we cry from our hearts, we cry out to him. Because he is the lover of our souls. Now, when we look at the book of Song of Solomon, and I absolutely love the book Song of Solomon, Wichlit. And I love it for many reasons. I love it because it's poetry, and I love poetry. But I also love it because I know when I read that book, even though it refers to marriage, it really is about God and us. It really is about the ultimate wedding and the ultimate bride and bridegroom. And listen to this scripture. It is just beautiful. Draw me away with you and let us run together. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Let the king bring me into his chambers. I looked at that word chambers. It refers to the most private room in the house, the bedroom. You know, a husband and a wife need to be alone and private in their bedroom, and they need to lock the door, and they need to spend intimate time together. That is the way God designed it. That is good for a marriage. And God says, let me take you into my chambers. Because intimacy for you and me and time alone with me is good for us. And God is longing for us. And I share with the church sometimes just personally how I see things, and that should always be measured against the word and always be sifted, and we should never just take a sermon. We should go and meditate on it and throw out what was not from God, because every single person with a microphone is just a person with flesh and weaknesses. But I look at the church in our culture. I'm not speaking about the persecuted church now. I'm speaking about the Western church. I'm speaking about our culture. You know, and I hear that people say, we want revival. We need revival. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm just honest this morning, I have no confidence at this stage that God can trust us to release His Spirit in such a measure, because God will reveal Himself to those who seek His face, who will give Him the time that He needs. And I'm not sure that as a church, and I'm not speaking about Shofar Somerset West, I'm speaking about the church in South Africa and the church in other countries who are privileged, who live easy, comfortable lives, who are prone to do everything else but seek the face of God. And when we come on a Sunday, we come to be together, we come to worship together, we come to speak to each other and encourage each other, and we come to have corporate prayer, and we are here to carry each other's burdens. But this is not a substitute. This is not a substitute for private, personal, intimate time with God. And I know that some of us have not been born again for a long time. And I know that we are growing in our relationship with God. And I know that our lives are sometimes very challenging. And there is no condemnation, because in the presence of God, there is only liberty. And those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh are free from condemnation. But allow me to say this for those of us who have been serving God for a longer time. 5 minutes is not enough for God to reveal Himself to us. He is not going to share all that He has on His heart and on His mind with a people who will not give Him the time. He will not. Now let me read another scripture from Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. For by this kind of faith, the men of old gained approval. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and to please Him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. I have had such an awakening in my relationship with God over the past year and a half. And increasingly, I realize that the more I desire God and the more I give Him my full attention, the greater the work is that He does in me and through me. And there are things that God wants to reveal to us. You know, we are, all of us here are individuals. We are very different from each other. We are very different. And God, with a purpose, created us to be very different. And since we are very different, He has a very different way of engaging with all of us. And you know, when God speaks to Jeremiah, and we love that scripture, we quote it all the time, God says, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were born, before you were created in your mother's womb. And He says to Jeremiah, all these wonderful things. But then we see why, when we read further, we see that Jeremiah had a very, very, very tough call on his life. He had a really hard life. He was not allowed to get married. He was rejected constantly. He was physically tortured. The word that he brought from God was not received. Jeremiah had a tough life. But then he says to God, he says, I don't want to do this anymore. But there's a fire that is burning in my heart. There's a fire, God, and it cannot be quenched. So I have to follow through with this call on my life. And I see people in front of me wherever I go, and I see myself in the mirror, and I see people who God wants to invest in. He wants to reveal personally for each one of us what He has for us, what His plans are, what His purposes are. But He is waiting for us to give Him the time and the opportunity to do so. Because if we do not go into Him, into His chamber, if we do not run away with the King and go with Him into the private chamber, we will not know these things. That is why He calls it a mystery. That is why the Bible speaks about a mystery. Because God is it's a mystery. And when we look at the Old Testament, when we look at the old prophets, we look at Jeremiah, Hosea, Isaiah, all of them, many of them. It's almost like reading the same book over and over again. Those of us who have read it will know. We see that God is wooing Israel, and He's constantly trying to penetrate their hearts and to bring them back, because they were His special people. And He's constantly trying to draw them in, and they are constantly rejecting Him. And God becomes extremely emotional. He says, you know, I am angry, I am frustrated, I am longing for you, I am crying out to you, I want you, I want you, I want you, but you don't want me. And sometimes he says, come, I will forgive you, and sometimes he says, I cannot, this is too hard. That is why he called Hosea. And he said to Hosea, now you go and you marry a prostitute. Because Israel at the moment is like a prostitute. And you will know what it feels like to be rejected constantly rejected. And you will know what it feels like to have a covenant with someone and to love someone and to long for someone, but not have their attention. And you know, God is... God made a covenant with us. Let me read that scripture from Hosea 2, verse 19. And I will betroth you, Israel, to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and loyalty and in compassion. And that word for loving kindness in the Hebrew is a word, something in the line of chesed. And it means love and loyalty, unswerving love, undying devotion. There's not actually an English word for it, but it refers to a love that cannot change regardless of what happens. And God says, regardless of what happens, I will love you. I love you now. I will always love you. I will always desire you. I just know that I know that I know that God has so much that He wants to give us. He has so much that He wants to show us and reveal to us. But He will not reveal and show and unfold mysteries to a church and a people who prefer movies and sports and social events to time with Him. And we look at the persecuted church, you know, and we see that because of dire circumstances, because of severe suffering, they are constantly seeking the face of God. They are constantly entering into the presence of God, and they are growing. The church is growing. The church is growing, daily being added to them, more and more people. Because time with God is their priority. It's not just their priority. It is their lifeline, and it is the only thing that they have, and it is enough to carry them through. But God says, don't wait until persecution comes to seek my face. And you know, God is not into the instant. He's not into the instant. I had the most amazing weekend. Last weekend was a long weekend. And I was asked to preach in Stellenbosch. And after I committed to preach, my family and I were invited to go away for the weekend with some other family. And I said to Anton, I think you should go and take the children. I think it will be a lovely weekend. And I will stay behind because I have to preach. And I realized this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity. And from the moment that they left, it was just me and the two dogs and God. For almost 3 days. I did eat, I did not fast, but I worshipped for hours and hours. I read the word for hours and hours, and I prayed for hours and hours. I hardly ever get this opportunity, and I'm sure most of you as well, but God gives it when it is needed. And Thursday afternoon, I felt nothing. Friday, I said, God, where are you? It's just me and you. I don't experience you. I don't feel you. But I will I will carry on spending time with you because I long for you. And on Saturday morning, it was as if God walked into my house. Even the dogs became very quiet because God came. And God revealed himself to me, but he took 2 days. And I know we don't have 2 days. But we have much more time than we claim we have. Don't we? Let's be honest. Let's just be honest. And God said, you know, God, I want to ask, go and think and just write it down. And this is for me and my family as well. How many hours and how many minutes are we giving to God? And how many hours and how many minutes and how many days are we giving to other things? Because we have no idea. We have no idea how our lives will change once we enter his presence regularly and we wait, we wait, we wait. Those who wait upon the Lord, we wait because God is not into instant. And the 5 minutes or the 10 minutes, it's not enough. It takes us an hour just to clear our heads, like Tian said, you know, he was trying to clear his head. It takes us an hour just to clear our heads. And God says, nothing is as important as this. Nothing. And on top of that, you know, when Song of Solomon, when the bride says, I'm going into the chamber with my king, she is incredibly excited because of what is going to happen in that chamber. When we go to a wedding, we all know, especially if it is a pure wedding, where this couple lived a pure life unto God, and they never had sexual intercourse. We all know what happens after that wedding. We all know the excitement and the joy and the expectation. And then we also know that it grows. It doesn't take 3 nights together to have it perfect. It grows. God is saying, you have no idea what you are missing out on because you are not seeking my face. And I can stand here and I can testify, and this is all I can do. I can only speak from my own experience, but I'm trusting that there are more people here who can share my experience or at least have experienced it. I've been married for 20 years. I've had the privilege to have intimacy with a godly husband for 20 years. I have had the privilege to give birth 5 times and to experience that, which is an extraordinary experience. I've had the privilege to speak to people like I'm doing now, which is an incredible honor. But nothing compares to knowing God. And I have had good experiences in church. I have had extraordinary experiences in church, but nothing like my private time with him. That is where I have changed. That is where I saw battle over battle over battle, overcoming, wrestling, wrestling, wrestling with God and overcoming. And that is the answer. You know, I have many regrets, and I've shared this with the Stellenbosch Church as well, and I know we like to say no regrets. But I also know that when we do have regrets, God will walk us through it. And I have some regrets, and now I'm working through it with God, and I'm wrestling with God. But I've been in the what we call in our culture the full-time ministry, and I'm not sure whether we should call it that. But I've been working for the church for many, many years, and I regret the many people who came to me for prayer, for advice, or even just for prayer, or for counsel. I regret trying to fix them, trying to heal them, trying to give them good advice, and it's biblical advice, but not just telling them to go back to the chamber, close the door, and spend 3 hours with your Father in heaven, and everything will change for you. You know, counselors, and allow me to say this, and forgive me if this is doesn't sit comfortable with us, and there's a place where we need to talk to each other. I know, I do. I had a long conversation yesterday with someone that I really needed. But as a rule, we don't need counselors. We need God. We need to go to God. And it does not take 5 minutes. You know, I'm learning and I'm growing, and the more time I spend with God, the more I learn that my many battles and my life and the things that I'm called to, it happens in prayer. The battle is fought in prayer, and the life is just a manifestation of that prayer. It's in the prayer closet. We have 3 teenagers now, and I was a very confident mother. You know, people used to tell me, you just make it look so easy to parent. And I thought, well, it's not that hard. You know, I don't know why everybody battles so much. When I had my first baby, I really knew what to do. And I thought, this thing, I can do this thing. And then my first child became a teenager, and I had no idea. And then the second one, and now the third one. And suddenly, I did not know. And I was not able, and all my own issues from my own childhood suddenly manifested. And I battled, and things went wrong. And out of respect for my family, unfortunately, I cannot share this with you, even though I would love to, but things went wrong in our house. And it was hard. And I started crying out to God. I said, God, I don't know how to engage with these children. They became strangers to me. I don't know how to get to their hearts. My mouth is dry when I have to have a conversation with them about something. I don't know, but God, you know, and I am crying out to you. God, you know, and you know their hearts, and I don't even know what to pray, God, but I'm giving this to you. You come, God, and you change it. You come, and you work in their hearts. You give them a hunger and a thirst for you, God. And instead of doing the million things that I have to do every day, like most of us, very few of us have little to do. Our lives are so busy and so challenging, I would leave everything and just spend hours in prayer. And you know, we have a small business now. Some of you know this. And my husband would come home and say, did you do this and that and the other? And I go, no, no. He says, oh, I said, I prayed. But I'm sure God will sort it, which he's doing. And I looked at my first child, the first one that was where there was a challenge. And she started spending time with God. Nobody told her to. She closed her door and she started reading the word, worshiping with the earphones, praying unto God. And in front of our very eyes, she is changing. We cannot believe the change. Then the second one, I said, God, he needs to hunger and thirst for you. At this stage, God, he's really not interested in you. And lo and behold, after hours of prayer, not 5 minutes, he came to me with his Bible and he said, can you read with me? He said, can you read something juicy? I said, well, there's murder, there's deceit, what do you want? There's everything in the Bible. We read about Jacob and Esau, you know, and Jacob's mom who said, let's cheat your dad and pretend you are Esau. And he just loved it. And now we are with Samson and Delilah. He loves it. It's the word of God. And then the other one, I said, God, she needs friends. God, she needs godly friends. God, she needs godly friends. And then the friend came right out of Shofar Stellenbosch. The friend came. And every morning she says, the other day she says, Mama, tomorrow we are going to pray for Adib. I said, I think Adib is a Muslim. I'm not sure how his parents, she says, we already know, but we are just going to pray for him. And so they did. They had a word for a teacher. And they slipped it in her bag because they were too shy to give it to her. And they watched her as she took it out of the bag and she started reading and tears started flowing from her eyes. And she said, who wrote this? And they put up their hands and she said, today my life is changed. I was waiting for a word from God. It took hours of prayer. Now I want to say this morning, you know, I never used to do public crying. I don't like public crying. But the more I realize how God is longing for us, the more emotional I get. God is very emotional. Just read the Old Testament and the prophets. And God is saying, I'm not angry. I'm not disappointed. I'm slow to anger. I'm here. I need you to come. I need you to come, and you are not coming. And I need you to give me your time. Because what I want to reveal to you is so much bigger than you even realize. Let me read the last scripture. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you, and even show you great and mighty things, things which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand, and cannot distinguish. Just give me your time, says God. And you will be changed. And you will see your prayers answered. This is the last thing that I will share, and then we can spend some time in worship before we go home. Now we went through a bad patch in our marriage. I know there are marriages here that are battling. We went through a bad patch in our marriage. And I took it to God. And I said, God, you need to change my heart because I cannot change my own heart. there's nothing that I can do, God. My heart is dead. And Anton said to me, your heart is dead. You have no love left for me. And I could not deny it. My heart was dead. And I said, God, I know you can do anything. But it took time in God's presence. It took a lot of time in God's presence. But the more I cried out to God, the more he was able to just change my heart. And you know, today and for the past 2-3 years, I look at this man and I cannot believe the gift that God gave me. I cannot believe the gift in this man. I cannot believe how privileged I am to be married to him, because God changed my heart. Whatever we have in our lives, whatever we have, whatever seems like the highest mountain that is impossible to climb, go and be in the chamber with the king and have intimacy with him and see that mountain become a valley. It does not come just by a quick, trying to do a quick prayer. It comes from giving him the time that he needs from us. Can I ask the worship team to come up, please? I'm going to ask us to spend time alone with God this morning. And just engage with him as individuals. Just give him our hearts. And speak to him about the time that we give him and about his desires for us and our desires for him. And ask him to speak to us, whatever he wants to speak to us. And then I almost did forget. There's a thing that says, don't forget communion. I think perhaps what we should do is, while we worship, if we can just all go and take some of the wine and take some of the bread and just spend that time with God and just engage with him as individuals. Why don't you just get up and get some bread and some wine and just spend the time with God?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.